Today's daf is Brachas Daf Lamed Vav. And we are 21 lines from the bottom of Daf Lamed Hey Amud Beis, the two dots, Chutz Min Hayayin V'chulu. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza. And today's daf is also being learned Le'ilu Nishmas, my grandfather, Rab Avram Yitzchak Ben Rabbi Yechiel Mechel, Avram Yitzchak Mir, my mother's father. Today's his second Yartzeit. So yesterday we began Perek Ketzad Mevarchim, which begins with a very straightforward Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Ketzad Mevarchim ala Peres. What bracha do you make before you eat Peres? Said the Mishnah, al Peres, Ilan Weimer, Boire Priya Eitz, Chutz Min Hayayin. If the fruit grows on a tree, you make a Boire Priya Eitz, with the exception of wine, which grows on a tree, Sha'ala Yayin Hu Weimer, Boire Priya Gofen. Rather than make a Boire Priya Eitz, you make a Boire Priya Gofen. Al Peres Ha'aretz. What about Peres that grow in the ground, not on a tree? Said the Mishnah, you make a Boire Priya Adama, Chutz Min Hapas. The exception to that rule is bread, Sha'ala Pasu Weimer, Hamoitz. Then the Mishnah mentioned a Shitas Rabbi Yehuda that we'll get to later in the Perek that said for vegetables, you make a more specific bracha. You don't say Boire Pri Adama. Rather, you make a bracha of Boire Mine Deshoim. So the Mishnah said that although wine comes from grapes, which grow on a tree, you don't make a Boire Pri Eitz. Rather, you make a Boire Pri Agafen. And although bread comes from wheat, which grows on the ground, you don't make a Boire Pri Adama. Rather, you make Hamotzi Lachem in Aretz. So the question is why? Rashi, the first Rashi in the Perek addresses this and says, Shamitoicha Shivusoi, because wine and bread are so chashev, Kavuloi Bracha La'atzmai. Being that wine and bread are so chashev, the Chachamim decided that the chashivos begets its own bracha. So although technically you could have made the more general bracha Bayer Pri Eitz for wine and the more general bracha Bayer Pri Adama for bread, Chazal were koiveya. They decided that it should have a more specific bracha. So with that very brief introduction, Zok de Gemara, Maishno Yayin. Why is it that wine gets its own bracha? Ilema mishum deshtani liluya, ishtani la bracha, is the reason that wine gets its own bracha. Meaning the reason wine is deemed to be chashav relative to the halachas of brachos, because wine is different than the grape from which it comes. And not only is it different, it's better. Wine costs more money than grapes do. It's considered more chashav. And it's for that reason that, being that when it was in the state of grapes, it was a Boire Pri Eitz, now it changed. It changed for the better. So just like physically it changed, it's for that reason the bracha changes as well. But the Gemara says, V'hare shemen d'shtani li'iluya, v'lo yishtani l'bracha. Oil, which comes from olives, which is also a shinui from the state of olives, it's a shinui li'iluya, because oil is considered more chashev than olives are, yet the halacha is that it doesn't have its own brach. How do you know that? Because Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan both said, Shemen zayis, mevarchan olav bayir priya eitz. That just like you make a bayir priya eitz on the zayis, on the olive itself, so too you make a bayir priya eitz on the shemen zayis. So what's the difference between wine and oil? Wine, you don't make the Boire Priya Eitz that you made on the grape from which it comes. Rather, we say that it gets a new special bracha Boire Priya Gofen. Yet when it comes to oil, you make the same Boire Priya Eitz that you made on the Zayitz itself. So the Gemara says, Amri Hasam Mishum Dulei Efshar. The reason you don't make a different bracha for oil is because it'd be very hard to construct the Nusach HaBracha. Meaning, what would be the text of the bracha? Heichi Nevarich. Nevarich Boire Pri Hazayis. Should the bracha be similar to the bracha you make on wine, which is Boire Pri Agafen, a Boire Pri Hazayas? The problem is, Pere Gufa Zayas Ikri. The Zayas is the fruit. So if you're going to make a Boire Pri Hazayas, this is technical, that means you're acknowledging or you're thanking Hashem for creating the fruit of the fruit. Okay, what's wrong with that? The reason the Gemara feels that's not an appropriate bracha is because what causes the oil to emerge from the Zayas? That's man-made. That's human intervention. That's something that we do. So why are we blessing Hashem for something that we created? Now, we don't really do anything. But Kaloymar, this is something we created. And being that it's something that we created, doesn't really make sense for us to make such a bracha. When we make a Boire Pri Agafen on the wine, the gofen is not the grape. The gofen is the vine itself. It's the tree. So there's a new bracha that you can come up with in the nusach of the bracha, in the text of the bracha for wine. There is no new nusach that you can come up with for oil. For wine, instead of saying Boire Pri Eitz, which is a general term, the fruit of all trees, you'll say Bari Pri Agafen, this specific tree, the vine. As opposed to by Shemen, what are you going to say? Bari Pri Hashemen, the Shemen is not the tree. The Shemen is, or the Zayas is not the tree. The Zayas is the fruit. And it doesn't make sense to make a bracha on what comes from the fruit, because that's something that we ourselves control. But the Gemara says, I mean, it sounds nice, but it's really not a good teretz, because Mevarech Chalel, Bari Pri Eitz Zayas. Why can't you make a bracha, Bari Pri Eitz Zayas, which would then suggest that we're talking not just about Bari Pri Eitz in general, but more specifically about the Eitz of the Zayas, and that will be the equivalent to the Bari Pri Agafen. And just like for the wine, you make a Bari Pri Agafen, it's a change and a change for the better. So for the Shemi, you should do the same thing. So again, we're stuck at this little point here of why is it that wine gets its own bracha, whereas oil doesn't get its own bracha. Wine gets its own bracha, presumably, because it was a shtani liluya. So if that's the case, Shemen was also a shtani liluya. Elamer Mazucha. Mazucha says you have to say that there's a fundamental difference between wine and oil. Wine is more chashiv than oil, and it's for that reason wine gets its own bracha. How so? Chamra zayin, mishchalei zayin. Wine can sustain somebody. Oil can sustain somebody. You can live on wine, so to speak. You can't live on oil, and it's for that reason wine is more chashiv. It's more chashiv, it gets its own bracha. But the Gemara says, mishchalei zayin, is that true? Oil is not considered something that sustains. The time we learned in the Mishnah, if somebody makes a neder, he says, I'm not going to have anah from mazoid, meaning I'm not going to have anah from things that sustain people. Mutter b'mayim u'b'melach. So he's not allowed to eat anything. The only thing he is allowed to eat is mayim and melach, because they're considered the only two things that don't sustain. But the Gemara explains, v'avina b'mayim and melach u'dolay ikri mazoin, I'll call mikri ikri mazoin. Is that true? Only mayim and mazoin are not mazoin? But everything else other than mayim and melach is considered mazayin. If that's the case, what bracha should you make on all food other than mayim and melach? You should make a bari minim mazayinus if everything is mazayin. Name it Yavi Tufta, the Rabbi Shmuel Amri, aim of Archa, bari minim mazayinus, alabahe minim avad. Rabbi Shmuel both said that you only make a bari minim mazayinus on grain. You don't make a bari minim mazayinus on anything else. If you're going to tell me that everything is mazayin, and anoidim and amazayin is usher in everything with the exception of mayim and melach, so why is it that you don't make a mazayinus on everything else? From Rav Huna explained, ba'imer kol azon alai. It's the Mishnah that says, he's not talking about where someone made a neder, I won't have hanah from mazayin. Rather, he said, kol hazon olai, anything that sustains. Meaning, there's a difference between mazayin and things that sustain. Mazayin defines the food. There's certain foods that are defined by their ability to sustain. There are other foods that are maybe not mazayin. It doesn't define the food, but at the same time, it does have the ability to sustain. The point is, Alma Mishcha Zayin. Although oil is not mazoin, you don't make a bari mina mazoin, as most foods are not mazoin. But at the same time, it is zayin. It does sustain. And that's why, if somebody makes a neder, and he says, kol hazon olai, the halacha is, he would be aser to drink or eat oil. If that's the case, what's the difference again between wine and oil? Wine gets its own bracha, not oil. We're suggesting now maybe the reason is because wine sustains as opposed to oil. It's not true. You see clearly that if somebody makes a neder from anything that sustains, he wouldn't be able to drink oil, zoysay meris, that it does sustain. So the Gemara says you have to say the difference between wine and oil, something else. Chamra sa'id, umishcha loysa'id. Chamra, wine, satiates a person. So you can drink wine and feel full. But you're not going to eat or drink oil and feel full. That's the difference. It's not that it sustains so much, but rather that it satiates. It's a subtlety, but that's the difference. The Gemara says, but chamra misa'id, is that true? But Rav, avishasli chamra kumal yem et epischo. Rav used to drink wine on Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, you're preparing for Pesach. So what did Rav do on Erev Pesach? Rav used to drink wine. We always speak out. There's many, many, many Gemaras that associate Rav with wine. Something to think about. But the point is that here's a Gemara where Rava used to drink wine and ever pay. Now, why did he do it? Because he wanted to open up his appetite. He felt that if he drinks a lot of wine, it would make him really hungry. So like this, at night, when there's a mitzvah saseh d'iraisa to eat matzah, he would eat it with more of an appetite. It would be more l'teyavon. The point is, you see that wine doesn't make you full. To the contrary, it seems to make you hungry. So the Gemara says, it depends on how much wine you drink. Tuva gar. If you drink a lot of wine, like Rava did, so that actually opens up. It cultivates your appetite. Purta sa'id. If you drink it in moderation, you don't drink too much wine, then it's going to satiate. So that's the difference. The difference is wine is sa'id, shemen is loy, something else with me, sa'id, klal. Vaksiv, isn't there a pasuk that says, v'yayin yisamach levavenish? Wine makes people happy. V'lechem levavenish yisod. And bread satiates. It's mashma nahamahudis sa'id. It sounds like bread satiates as opposed to wine that doesn't. So the Gemara says, you're right. The way you read the pasuk is that wine is misameach and it's soyed. Nahama misad soyed, smuchei loy misameach. So the Gemara is saying the difference between wine and oil is that wine is soyed, shemen is loy soyed. Ihach, if the Gemara, if wine is soyed, nevaruch aleha shalosh brachas, then why is it that you don't bench? You bench on bread. Pashup shat, because it says in the Torah of Yachalto v'savato v'irachta, right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Torah you're supposed to bench on bread. So why do you bench on bread? Why don't you bench on something else? It's because it says v'yachalto v'savato. And the thought is that lechem is sa'id. Lechem makes a person satisfied. Lechem is makes a person not hungry anymore, as opposed to other foods. But if you're going to tell me that wine has the same ability, wine is also soyed. In fact, the way you read the pasuk, v'yayin yisamach levav enosh, and it's soyed. V'lechem is only levav enosh yisot. The same pasuk that says that lechem is soyed, says that wine is soyed. So why don't you bench after you drink wine? So the Gemara says, because le'kavi inshesu desayu levayu. The difference is that in order to bench, it has to be that you ate bread and that you were kavei a suda on the bread. This is Hilchas bread, pasa baba kisne 101. We'll talk about this later in the parak in Mi'at Hashem as well. But for now, wine, even if it has the qualities of bread, but no one's kevei a suda on it, I mean that you're not kevei a suda, that's a criteria, it's a prerequisite for brichas hamazon. What if someone's kevei a suda on wine? Nice. But let's say somebody does that. So he's kevei a suda on wine. Should he bench then? Amale. So Rava told Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, l'kishayavoy Eliyahu v'yoymar. Incidentally, the question was asked to Rava. So Rava responded, and when Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he'll say Havi Kfiyusa, then we'll figure out what the halach is. But Hashta, now Mia Bakla Daita Yetzal Kaladam, we just have to assume that the norm is what people do. People are not Kaveya Suda on wine, and as a result, right now you're not going to bench on wine exhale. So again, the backdrop of the Gemara was, what's the difference between wine and oil? On wine, you don't make a Boyer Priyates, despite the fact that wine comes from grapes that grow on a tree. Stating that, the Chachamim, like Rashi says in the beginning of the parak, understood that wine is very chashiv. And because it's very chashiv, it gets its own bracha. Oil comes from olives, which grow on a tree. You would think oil is also chashiv, yet Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel, the two G'doylei Hadar of their generation, respectively, said that on oil you make a Boyer Priyates. Why weren't the Chachamim Kovei a special bracha on oil? And the Gemara, after further review, said the reason is because wine is more chashiv than oil. How so? Wine has the ability to satiate a person. Oil doesn't have an ability. In fact, it satiates a person to such an extent that the Gemara has a havamina, maybe you should bench on wine. And the Gemara also has a havamina that even though the halacha is you don't bench on wine, but maybe if someone's kevei a suda on wine, maybe the halacha would be that you should bench on wine. Just three very, very short ha'aras before we go weiter. It's a long technical daf today. But three very short ha'aras. Number one, the Gemara mentioned a Mishnah Masechtas Nedarim. Hanoidem min amazoin mutter b'mayim u'b'melach. The bir halacha in Simin Kuf Samech Zayin brings a very important halacha l'maisa based on that Mishnah. And that is that we know that b'di'evet, if somebody makes a shakal near bidvari on something that you're really not supposed to make a shakal on, say eating an apple and you make a shakal near bidvari, you don't make another bracha. Why? Because b'di'evet shakal works for everything. So the Bir Halacha brings from the El Yerabah, and it brings it from the Chayyadim as well, that the same thing is true for a boyer mina mezaynas. So if you would make a boyer mina mezaynas, of course by mistake, but if you would make a boyer mina mezaynas on an apple, you're fine. You don't make another bracha. There's two things where if you make a bayer minim mezaynus, even b'di'evet, it's not a good bracha. What is that? Mayim and melach, water and salt. What's the makar to it? Says the Chayyadim, this Mishnah. Because you see from here that b'di'evet, all foods, with the exception of mayim and melach, are considered mazayin. Hanoidim and amazayin, mutter b'mayim u'b'melach. In fact, the Gemara like even asked it as a question, you should make a bayer minim mezaynus. Good. L'maisa, you don't. You only make a bayer minim mezaynus on grains. But so much so that havamina lives on in halacha, that b'di'evet, if you would make a bayer minim mezaynus, the halacha is that it would be okay. So shahako works for everything. Mezaynus works for almost everything. Everything with the exception of mayim, with the exception of melach. That's the first short ha'ara. The second short ha'ara is the Gemara says, Rabbi used to drink wine the whole Erev Pesach. Right? The Gemara says he drank a lot of wine. That was the whole point. He drank a lot of wine. Why? Like this, it would open up his appetite. Now, why did he want his appetite to be so? Why did Rava want to be so hungry? Bilel Pesach. This is a mitzvah. This is a mitzvah to eat matzah. Now, Rava lived after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, so there was no mitzvah to eat the Karban Pesach at that point. The mitzvah Saseh Deiraisa, however, was to, it's interesting because you don't eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Right, the Tosfos in the beginning of Perek Arvi Pesachim quotes a Yerushalmi that says that if somebody eats matzah on Erev Pesach, it's kabal naira murasa beis chamav. But the point is, we don't eat matzah. A lot of people don't eat matzah ready for Rosh Chodesh Nisan. You're not supposed to eat matzah. Why? Because you wait until Leil Seder. That's when you're supposed to eat matzah. Now, one of the mitzvahs of the Leil Seder is the Dalet Kosis. So you would think maybe you shouldn't drink wine Erev Pesach either. Rava drank wine the whole Erev Pesach. Literally just the opposite. But again, why did he do it? He did it like this. He would eat the matzah l'teyavim. Why did he want to eat the matzah l'teyavim? Why? Why do you want to be so hungry? So Pasha, you learn. It's like a hergish. He wanted to be excited. He wanted to be gishmak. Wow, I'm going to eat. I'm so hungry and I could do the mitzvah. Rashi and the Rashbam, right in the beginning of Arvi Pesachim, says Kidei sheyoichal matzah shal mitzvah. The context over there is the halach of Erev Pesach Arvi Pesachim. Somech lamincha lo yoichal. You're not supposed to eat too close to Pesach. Why not? Kidei sheyoichal matzah shal mitzvah l'teyavoin mishum hider mitzvah. There's a hider mitzvah to be hungry when you eat a dover shal mitzvah. What's the makar to hider mitzvah? Zekei levan veil. There's a hider mitzvah, and all the achronim point out that you see from this Rashbam and this Rashi a very big chiddush. Because usually when you think of hider mitzvah, so what's a hider mitzvah? You want to have a nice beged for your talis, a nice talit minim, a pri etz hader. It's defining the chetz of the mitzvah. So hider mitzvah in terms of matzah should be a very nice matzah. That would be hider mitzvah. You're going to sit down, you have these beautiful matzahs, and that would be the hider. Over here, the hiddur is not in the chefts of the mitzvah. The hiddur is in the maisa ha-mitzvah. It's in the act. When I'm eating it, it's more mehudr because I'm enjoying it more. It's more pleasurable. So you see from here a very big chiddush in the halachas of Zekei Levan Veil that hiddur mitzvah doesn't only govern the chefts of the mitzvah, but hiddur mitzvah governs the way the mitzvah is being done as well. There's something about doing the mitzvah in a nice way. And if I'm hungrier, the achila itself is a little different. And that's also hiddur mitzvah. It's not just the chefts of the mitzvah. It's the whole tzura of the mitzvah. It's the chefts, it's the maisa, it's the gavra, it's the whole picture of the mitzvah. That all goes into the halachas of hiddur mitzvah, the inkam mekayim laharach. The final short ha'ara is that Rav Nachman by Yitzchak asked Rav, if someone's kivei a suda on wine, could he bench? So what did he tell him? We'll have to wait until Eliyahu Navi comes. Is that the same as saying teiku? I mean, the Gemara very often asks a question, and the Gemara says teiku. Now, what's teiku? So literally, it means it shall stand. That's the English translation of the word teiku. But we have a Mesoira, and the Chassam Sofer brings it in Shailos HaTshuvos Chelek Vav, and the Chida brings it in the Pesach Inayim. This is Dvarim Atikim, although I've heard people question this, but it's brought down in the Gedoyli Achroinim, that teiku is an acronym. It's not Chassidus HaMaisis. This is brought down in the Poiskim. It's not a drush. Tishbi Yitaretz Kushis V'Ibayis. I've seen it brought down in two nuschais. Tishbi Yitaretz Kushis V'Ibayis or Tishbi Yitaretz Kushis V'Havayis. But the point is, the Gedoy Le'achreinim brought this, that's what teiku means. We're going to have to wait until Mashiach comes. That was the Chidas Kasha that we spoke on Daf Gimel, which was that all the Amiram and the Tanam, they all had Gilui Eliyahu. How come they didn't ask Eliyahu Novi? All the teikus. Tishbi Yitaretz Kushis V'Havayis. But the point is that the Gemara has a word that it uses when it wants to say, we'll wait for Eliyahu Novi to come. That word is teiku. Here the Gemara like spells it out. So maybe this is not teiku. This sounds like maybe a different halacha. Now there's a whole Shulchan Aruch. What do you do with all the teikos? Right? Every time you have a teiku, so what do you do with a teiku? So bas you learn it's a suffix. If it's a sveik deraisa, you go to chumra, sveik derabana, you go to kula. If it's a suffix mammon, hamaytzamechaveri olavaraya. But teiku is a subcategory within the world of sveikas. Maybe this is different. Regardless, zok the Gemara vayta gufa. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel. V'chein Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan on shemen zayis v'varchan olav bayir priyayet. On oil, on shemen zayis, you make a bayir priyayet. Says more hechidami. What's the case? Meaning, somebody sat down and what? Drank a cup of oil? Like, is that what we're talking about? Ilei mitikach shasile. Is it talking about where that's exactly what happened? You had a shot of oil, right? You had a glass of oil. So the Gemara says, azuke mazikle. That's not good. That's very dangerous. And if that's the case, you shouldn't make a brach at all. Tanya, we learned to the price. Hashem shemesh al truma, mishalamas hakerev, and mishalamas hachoymish. If somebody drinks shemesh al truma, so the halach is he pays karen, he doesn't pay chamish. The halach is if someone eats truma, that's not supposed to, in addition to making the kayhanim or whoever's truma was whole, you also have to tack on a chaymish. We throw a bunch of taxes onto this. So what's the chazal, or the biblical tax? It was always a chaymish. So you add on a fifth. The point is that that's true if you shoysa shemesh al truma. No, but if you shoysa shemesh al truma, then you don't pay the chaymish. Hasach shemesh al truma, you take the shemen and you smear it on you, then mishalem es hakeren, u mishalem es hachaymish. Now, why don't you pay the chaymish if you shoysa shemesh al truma? Because it's not considered achila. Because the halach of chaymish isn't for damaging the truma. It's for eating the truma. It has to be achila. And when you're shoyse Hashem, man, it's not considered achila. So just like it's not considered achila with regards to this doiraisa de gedin of truma, the chaimesh of truma, the same should be true as it relates to a bracha. So therefore what? So why do you make a bar priya eitz? What's the Gemara's kasha? How do you learn pashim shah? You shouldn't make a bracha at all. The Rambam learns differently. The Rambam says, the Gemara means to ask, and this is how the Rambam paskens l'alocha, you should make a shahakol niya bedvare. That's a whole other conversation. But the Gemara says, elo, the gochel adeh pas. It must be talking about where you ate it together with bread. So you had bread, you dipped it into your olive oil, so that already makes more sense. And that's the case where you make the bar priya eitz. But what's the obvious question? If you're eating bread and oil, are you making a bracha on the oil? Yihachi, havalei pas ikr. Vahu tafel, that the Tanan and the Mishnah says, Zeh klal kol shu ikr b'mayit tfeil, v'varach aliku b'mayit tfeil. You know, once you wash, you don't make another bracha. Why not? Because everything is tafel to the bread. And Marcel says, oh, the kashasik le'adeh anigroin. Maybe he's talking about where you ate it together with anigroin. Domer, Rabbi Bar Shmuel, anigroin, what is anigroin? Maya de silka, beet soup. And sigroin, what is that? Maya de kuli shalki, vegetable soup. But again, the Gemara's question is that even though apparently they used to put olive oil into beet soup recipes, but at the same time, you would always think the soup is the ikr. The beets are probably the main thing. And if Cain Havali Anigrin ikr, Vashem and Tafel, but Tanaz, Eakal, Kosho ikr, Bimay Tfelo, Mavarech Al Ho ikr, Upoiteh Satfelo, and Rasa Sakh of Mayaskid, it's talking about Bechoshesh Begroin. It's talking about a person that wasn't feeling well. His throat was bothering him. Tanya, we learned to the Braisa, Bechoshesh Begroin, Lo Yer Enu, Beshemen, Tchila Beshabbos. If someone's throat is bothering him, and apparently olive oil was considered a remedy for that, so you shouldn't take oil, put it in your mouth, and you know, use it as mouthwash or drink it that way. That's not something you're supposed to do. Why? Because we refrain from inyani refuah on Shabbos. However, what you can do is you can put a lot of oil into a nigroin ubaileya and drink it. Meaning, a nigroin was a soup. People used to put olive oil in that soup. Let's say you're not feeling well, and you need a lot of olive oil, so you can't just start downing oil. That's not something you're allowed to do. But what you could do is you could put a lot of oil, you could put a disproportionate amount of Shemen Zayis into your anigroin. Like this, you'll end up getting your anigroin. And that's not an issue of refuah b'shabbos. So even though you're doing it l'shem refuah, it's not an issue of refuah b'shabbos. The point is, in this case, there was more olive oil than anigroin. So now the ikar is not the beet soup, the ikar is the olive oil. So there, the halacha, the question becomes, what bracha do you make on olive oil? That's what Rabbi Yochanan meant. That's what Shmuel meant. You make it by your priyates. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, pshita, what's even the chiddush? Now, what do you mean? Maybe the chiddush is that you make it by your priyates, as opposed to its own bracha, as opposed to shakel niyabedvari. I'm rishayim and achrayim. But either way, the Gemara says, ma'adu teima, I would have thought, kivin the refuah kam chavin, being that this person's intention was for refuah, loy levarach alakah, maybe you should make a bracha, because if somebody drinks something, l'shem refuah, you don't make brachas. Kamash blon, no. Kivin the islei hanamine, being that you're also having pleasure from it, boy, bruche, the halacha is, you do have to make a bracha. So again, before we go weiter, a few more very, very short ha'aris, and that is, you see from this Gemara that we just learned, that a person is not allowed to get involved in the Yoni Refuah on Shabbos. And really, it's a Simen in Shulchan Aruch, it's in Hilcha Shabbos, it's in Erech Chaim, Simen Shin Chav Ches, Dinei Refuah B'Shabbos. That's why you're not supposed to take medication. Now, obviously, if speak to your local rabbi and your local doctor, but this is not Halacha L'maisa, but from a very high level, there is an idea of not taking anything l'shem refuah on Shabbos. What's the reason for it? The reason is because once upon a time, if you wanted medicine, you couldn't go to your medicine cabinet, take an Advil, and feel better. You actually had to start grinding different herbs and shchika samimonim. If you would do it on Shabbos, would be an issa d'oraisa. So gzeira mishum shchika samimonim, the Chachamim said that refuah b'Shabbos is also. The big kasha that we've spoken about over the years, specifically Masechtas Avodah Zarah, is that there are many takonas Chachamim that were made for gzeiras that are not relevant b'zman hazeh, and as a result, you don't have to worry about it. So for example, mayim megulim, or mashke megulim is the classic example. Once upon a time, it was considered to be dangerous for a person to drink anything that was left uncovered overnight, because there were nechoshim and akrabim, we just had that recently, and the thought was that, you know, unless you're a Pchanina Mendoza, it's dangerous to drink anything that had any contact with a Nachash or an Akriv or a Tzav or an Arud, etc., etc. Right? So therefore, the halacha was, you're not allowed to drink Mashke Megulim. It's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Stating that, the Mechaber says, you don't have to worry about it. Why? Because today, there's no Nachashim and Akravim anymore. And as a result, this whole halacha doesn't relate. Meaning, very often you find in halacha this idea, the Chumim said something's awesome, it was because of a Gezerah. The Gezerah is no longer applicable, so as a result, the halacha is no longer applicable. That's the case. You would think think this is exhibit A for a situation like that. Who grinds their herbs today when they have a headache? Nobody does that. So as a result, today, it's you would think it's not relevant anymore. So if it's not relevant anymore, so l'chayra, the halacha should be that it shouldn't be a problem. Yet you find the gzera of shchika samamadim is still in the case. We've spoken out of prichadosh and yeridea, simin kufta zayin, v'advarim atikin festerade. When the chachamim said that the gzera lives on, even though the chashash doesn't live on anymore, and when we don't say that. But the point is, refu b'shabbos, but you see in the Gemara something very interesting, that if somebody's throat is hurt again, and the doctor prescribes shemen zayis. So if you want to just take the shemen zayis, it's not okay. But if you want to mix it together with your anigroi, then it is okay. So I say, Meres, that if you take food, you eat food, even though you're eating the food l'shem refuah, that you're allowed to do on Shabbos. So for example, if you're not feeling well, you're allowed to have extra chicken soup on Friday night. That's something that you are allowed to do. What do you mean, I'm only having it l'shem refuah? The difference is, it's food. So refuah b'Shabbos is a problem where you're just taking the shemen zayis and putting it in your mouth. However, if you're mixing it together with food, so really I'm just eating more, or you know, maybe I'm manipulating the recipe a little bit because of the fact that you're not feeling well, that's something that on Shabbos already you would be able to do. Just one final thing as it relates to shemen zayis. So we have a whole sugi over here. The Gemara is going to continue about eating shemen zayis. So it's just worth mentioning a Gemara, Masechtas Hayrius, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara over there says, Tanu Rabbanan, Chamisha Dvarim Meshachnes Alima. There are five things that make a person forget their learning. Ha'oichel, masha oichel achbar, if you share your lunch together with an achbar. U'masha oichel chassel, that's a cat. Va'oichel leiv shal behema. Va'rogel b'zeisim. If somebody eats zeisim, he's rogel b'zeisim, meaning he eats it very often. Va'shoisim mayim shal shiyurei rechitza. If somebody drinks like the mikveh water. Either way, the Gemara, just skipping a little bit, says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan, it's kosher for a lot of things. Kishem shazayis mishakeach limut shal shivim shana. Just like the Brisa says, that a zayis is not good, meaning it causes you to forget learning of 70 years. Kach shemen zayis meshav limut shal shivim shana. So apparently shemen zayis is not only good for your throat, it's also good for taira. It's good for a person remembering his learning. Just like the zayis is one of the chamisha dvarim hamishakchen as salimut, the shemen zayis is something that's actually a skula physikar. Zok de gemara weiter kimcha dechiti. If somebody takes raw wheat and he grinds it into flour, so what bracha do you make? So wheat can result in something that you'll make a bari mina mezonos for, of course. You make bread from wheat, the Mishnah already said. On bread you make hamotzi lachem min haaretz. The question is, what if you have wheat, it's raw wheat, you just ground it into flour. So the question is, what bracha are you going to make? Now on stalks of wheat, you make a bayir pri adama. That you have to know as an introduction. The question is, now that you turned it into kemach, what's the bracha? Rabbi Yudama, Rabbi Yudas, bayir pri adama. Rav Nachman said, shakol niya bedvari. Amalei Rava, the Rav Nachman. So Rava told Rav Nachman, a goon, who said, shakol niya bedvari. Like, typical as Rabbi Yehuda, don't argue with Rabbi Yehuda. I mean, Rabbi Yudas is right. You should make a bayir pri adama. The Rabbi Yoichanan and Shmuel, kaimi kavasik. So Rabbi Yechon and Shmuel both hold like it. Rabbi Yudama, Shmuel, the Rabbi Yitzchak, Rabbi Yoichanan. Which Rabbi Yoichanan and which Shmuel? The ones that we keep on talking about. Shem and Zayas, Mevarchan, all of. Alma, what do you see from there? Afogafdishtani, bimilsakot. Meaning, if you eat raw wheat, you make a bari priyadama. So why should flour be different? You'll tell me because it was a shtani. It changed. It was altered. So being that it was altered, so maybe the bracha changes. So he said, I pressed it. I said, that's not the way it works. Because let's use as an analogy, olive oil. Olive oil comes from olives. The olives itself, you make a bari priyadama. Rabbi Yechanan and Shmuel both said that on the olive oil, you also make a bari priyadama. Meaning, just because it changed physically, doesn't mean the bracha changes. Wine, bread, but other than that, it should have changed. So if the raw wheat is a bayir pri adama, then the flour should also be a bayir pri adama. Hachanami, afakav teshtani b'milsakai. But the Mara says, midami, it's not a tush del hasam. Over there, lesle iluya achrinda. Over there, when you made olive oil from the olives, you're not going to continue to process the olive oil. What's the point of the Gemara? The point is that this is not a transient shinui. This is the final destination. When you plant an olive tree, so you have two things in mind. You may want the olives, you may want the olive oil. But the point is, the olive oil is not looked at as being in some interim stage. It's looked at as being the tachlis of what you planted. So it comes from a tree, you make a bayir pri eitz. But hach over here, when you have the stalks of wheat and you now grind it into flour, what are you going to do with the flour? You're going to turn it into bread. That's what you're going to do. You're going to turn it into dough. Hacha islei iluya achrina bepas. Over here, there's an end game. So this is an interim period. And it's for that reason, the halacha is that you don't make the bracha of Beir Pri Adama. Rather, you make the bracha of Shakal Niyabedvari. In other words, we're being mechadish that when something's in a transient state, the halach is you make a shakal liyabedvari. But the Gemara says, is that true? V'chi yisle eluya achrina lemer v'china lea bayir pi adama elo shakal bam rabzei yom ramas lo amra shmuel akro chaya raw pumpkins v'kamcha desairi and barley flour. So this is flour that's made not from wheat but rather from barley. Mevarchinon alayo shakal liyabedvari. So who said this? Rabzei yom heard it from Rav Masna, who heard it from Shmuel. The point is, what's the bracha? The bracha is a shakal liyabedvari. When? On kemach soirim. So the Gemara's question is, it sounds like only kemach soirim you make a shakal. As opposed to kemach chitim, you don't make a shakal. Says where my love, the chiti bar pri adama. Only on the soirim kemach shakal, but on the chitim not. Now chitim is more chashav than soirim. Generally, in Talmud Bavli, chitim was considered to be meichel adam, soirim was considered to be meichel behema. So as it relates to the halacha, clearly, the bracha clearly would be less chashav, and as a result, it would have a lesser bracha. So the Gemara is arguing that if it's true that on kemach chitim you make a shakal nibidvari, why did Shmuel say that on kemach soirim you make a shakal nibidvari? He should have said a bigger chiddush. He should have said even on kemach chitim. Must be this whole svara that when something's in this transient state, you don't make a shakal nibidvari. The Gemara says, the chitim not a shakal nibidvari. It could be on chitim. You also make a shakal nibidvari. If that's the case, the chitim and kolshkin decide. So why did Shmuel say the halacha by soirim? He should have said it by chitim and kolshkin. Sorry, Yeshmin and the chitim have a midrash. He always said by chitim. I would have thought I would have thought maybe you don't make a bracha at all on kemach zayirim because it's so inferior. It's Michael Behema. Maybe if you Michael Behema, you don't make a bracha. Kamash Malan, you do make a bracha. But the Gemara says, why would you think you don't make a bracha on kemach zayirim? Is it less chashiv than salt? Is it less chashiv than brine? Like salt water? The time we learned in the Mishnah, even on that, you make a shakal. So I need Shmuel to tell me that he was concerned that you would have thought kemach zayirim, you don't make a bracha. The Gemara says, yeah. Kemach soirim is worse than melech and zamas. People sometimes put salt in their mouths. People put brine in their mouth. But kemach soirim is worse. It's not just something people don't eat. It's bad for the intestines. It's unhealthy to eat. So it's not just people don't do it. It's not customary. So for that, you could always say, sometimes people do, you never know. But over here, this is something that nobody does. It's kosher lekukiyaini. It's just very harmful. So you would think not to make a bracha. Kamash malon, why do you make a bracha? It's the end of the day, second time we had this. You can have svaras sometimes, why not to make a bracha? Maybe don't make a bracha on the nigroin that has a disproportionate amount of shemen zayis because you're doing the l'shem refuah. I hear it's a nice svara. L'maisa, you have a gano? You make a bracha, right? Why do you make a bracha? So at the end of the day, that's the box that you have to check off in order for there to be an obligation to make a bracha. Yeah, I know you make a bracha. Here too, the same thing. Kemach soirim, Shmuel felt that even though it's Michael Behema and it's very unhealthy, there's a reason only Behema's eat it. But so you would have thought, maybe don't make a bracha. Lemaisa, you're having hana. If you're having hana, that's a reason that you should make a bracha. Koira. So Rashi says, what is koira? These are the branches of a palm tree. So the first year, Rashi says, of a palm tree's branches existence, the branches are very soft, they're edible. They're roi lachiva. Now people don't usually sit down and eat the branches of a palm tree, but you can. And being that you can, there was a discussion, do you make a bracha? What bracha do you make? Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda says you make a bracha. Now do you make a bracha? Bayir Pri Adama. Where does the tree grow? It grows from the adama. The fruit that grows on the tree, that's a Bayir Pri Adama. But here you're eating the tree itself. So the tree itself, you make a Bayir Pri Adama. Shmuel said, Shahakol Niyabedvari. Not a Bayir Pri Adama. Rather, you make a Shahakol Niyabedvari. Rabbi Yehuda said, Bayir Pri Adama, why Peru? It's a peri. It's a fruit, technically. If you're eating it, then it's a fruit. It's got to be something, so it's a fruit. Shmuel said, Shahakol Niyabedvari. Hayom Asayfil Ahakshas. He said, I hear, right now it's a fruit. But at the end of the day, it's only going to be edible for a short amount of time. A year or so later, it's not going to be edible anymore. At that point, you wouldn't be able to eat it. You wouldn't make a bracha on it if you ate it. But the point is, that's a simen. That's a sign that even now it's not really a fruit. Anything that's soifel lahakshos, right now, it takes away from its chashivas of a fruit, and therefore you don't make the You're right. Because radishes is also something that at some point will get hard. See, there's no svara like I'm saying, Shmuel, that if something right now you make a shakal before, we don't look at it as a fruit. Because if that's the case, radishes should be the same way, but the words of the lohi, no, it's very different. Not the inchadite the pugla. When somebody plants a radish, it's soifel ahakshos. So what do? You eat it before it becomes hard. The purpose when you planted it was to eat it while it's in its edible state. Diklali, not the inchadite the kaira, but when somebody plants a palm tree, it's not so you should be able to eat its shoots during the first year of its existence. That's not why you do it. You do it because it's very nice. You want a palm tree. The point is that being that there, the tachlis is for the state of when it will be. So it's for that reason. Not the inchadite the hachi. That true that when it comes to decide what bracha you're supposed to make or whether you should make a bracha, we look at what the end game is, what the person's kavana was when he planted it. Varitzlav, but look at the caper bush. The nati inchiadaita the perichos. A caper bush is where caper berries grow. When people plant a caper bush, they do it for the fruit. V'tanan, we learned to the Mishnah, amine nitzpo, all the other things that grow together with the caper berries in this caper bush. Alav, ala tamar, it's a different types of leaves. Alav yoynes, vala kafrisin, as it relates to the yoynes, that's the fruit itself. Vala kafrisin, that's the husk that covers the fruit. The point is, the whole bush you're supposed to make a bracha on if you want to eat it. Bar pri adama, bar pri etz. Now clearly you're making a bracha because it's edible. But the point is, you didn't plant it for the leaves. That's just the way it grows. You want the berry, right? That's the punchline. That's what you're trying to take out of it. And still you make a bar pri adama and everything else. So what should be the difference between the leaves and the husk that's surrounding the caper berry and the palm shoots, the branches of the palm tree, while they're in their edible state? Why there is it a shahakal and here it's Adam Ares? No, it's different. The Metzias is not the same. Tzlaf, not the inchi, adai to the shoes. So tzlaf, when people plant it, it's true. The primary thing that they're going to take from the caper bush are the berries itself, but people have in mind the rest of it as well. Diklo loy not the incha daiti dekur. Nobody ever plants a palm tree because he wants to eat the branches. Says the Gemara. So it was a machloikis, Rav Yehuda and Shmuel. Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, kavasech mistabra. I like your pshat. And the Gemara says, "Avagav the kalsi Shmuel Rav Yehuda." Even though Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda, Hilchas Kavase the Shmuel, the halacha is like Shmuel. So before we get into the really intense part of the daf, this was not the intense part. Before we get into the intense part of the daf, so the Gemara just concludes this portion of the daf with Shmuel praising Rav Yehuda. Where did he praise Rav Yehuda? He called him Shinana. Shinana means he was a charef. He was an oika harem. Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda. There's another Gemara where Shmuel praised Rav Yehuda. In fact, he didn't just praise him. He gave him the ultimate shvach. What did he tell him? It's a Gemara Masechtas Nida, Daf Yud Gimel Amid Aleph. Kari Shmuel Aleil de Rabbi Yehuda. Shmuel said about Rabbi Yehuda, Ein ze Yolud Isha. He's not a Yolud Isha. Right, so you have the Madrega of Ashrei Yeladetai. This is a higher Madrega. He said, Ein ze Yolud Isha, as Nishkai Mensch. In other words, he was trying to say he's a Malach. Why is this the ultimate praise? Because the Mesilas Yisharim says in his Midas HaNova, this is in Perek Chav Beis, not Perek Chav, Perek Chav Beis. He's talking about why a person has to remain humble. He says, V'oi, afilu lo yil b'yichis. So first he says that because we're all so flawed. Everybody's flawed. And because we're flawed, that's a good reason to be humble. He said, but let's say you're perfect. Let's say you reached the tachlos hashleimos. You have no flaws. Afilu lo yil b'yichisar anach. You have no chisar. Elo heyoysoi Basav Adam, Yeludisha. Even if the only chesaron that you have is that you're a ludisha, Dai loy zeba hoysa, lepchisos vigrios, achela yos loy les nase klal. That's enough of a chesaron. If the only chesaron that you have is that you're a human being, at the end of the day, that's a chesaron. I mean, it sounds like it's possible for a person to reach the shleimus, but what at the end of the day will be his downfall? His Yeludisha, at the end of the day, you're a basav Adam, you're a human being. Das is oicha chesaron. Shmuel told Rav Yehuda, Ein ze yelud isha, even that one chesaron, even that you don't have. We spoke of that in the past for Bishu Ava, Bussel, the Rav Shlita, who said that the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, B'shal Sha'olam Moishel Amarim, he wanted to get the Torah. So what did the Malachim say? Ma li yelud isha beinenu, what's the yelud isha doing over here? So he taish, what was the oimek? The oimek was Moishel Rabbeinu was perfect. He was b'shleimus. Moishel Rabbeinu reached perfect. What are the yud gimel ikrim is? Like kam navi kam moishai. It's one of the 13 principles of faith. Just like we believe in Mashiach and Chiyas Ames, we have to believe that Moishel Rabbeinu reach the max. You can't be more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Like, come Navi Bisrael come Moshe. So what was the time on Moshe? What do you mean? Why should Moshe be able to take the Torah? Ma li yelud isha beinenu. Because at the end of the day, like the Mesilas Yesharim says, afilu lo yeh bay chisar en achar, ele ha yoysay basa vada, vi yelud isha, day lo yzeh bahoysa lepchisus vigrius, ad shal lo yos lo yles nosti klan. That was the Malachim's Taino. Malachim's Taino was the Mesilas Yesharim in Perek HaBez. But either way, so you see that Shmuel praises Talmud Rabbi Yehuda throughout Shas. He always called him a shinana. He praised his koyach in Torah. He praised the fact that Rabbi Yehuda was a sar. He praised the fact that Rabbi Yehuda had in him the Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he was a moshel b'Torah. But he was also ein ze yelud isha, as ish kai mensch, as gevein amalach. He was also an eved. He was also a Reb Chanina ben Doisa. Be'avdi b'moshe. Regardless, zok de gemara vaita. So we mentioned the caper bush. We mentioned the caper berry. We mentioned the husk that grows around the caper berries. So the Gemara now is going to talk about caper berries for a blot. Says the Gemara, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merav, Tzlaf Shalar Lo. If somebody has a caper bush, it's Arlo, and he's in Chutz Laretz. So the Halacha is Zoyre Keso Avyoinois, V'oichel Asaf Kafrisin. So you're allowed to eat the kafrisin. You can eat the husk that's around the berry. However, Zoyre Keso Avyoinois, you have to get rid of the fruit itself. Now, just a little bit of a background. Arlo is one of the mitzvahs of Tluyas Baretz. Arlo means that if you plant a fruit tree, you're not allowed to eat from the fruit for the first 3 years. The fourth year, it's Ravai, Netter Ravai, Kerem Ravai. Arlo means you cannot eat the fruit for the first 3 years. Now, the halacha is that Arlo, because it's mitzvah atluyas baretz, like all mitzvah atluyas baretz, trumas, maaser, everything else really should only be noyig in Eretz Yisrael. Stating that there's a Mishnah. It's a Mishnah pesach kedushin that says Arlo is noyig even in chutz laretz. And in fact, there are those that hold that when the Mishnah says that Arlo is noyig in chutz laretz, it means even midayraisa, halacha l'mayish misina. So you find the concept of Arlo's chutz laretz, and it's different than other mitzvah atluyas baretz, bechutz laretz, because Arlo's chutz laretz, that's a halacha. Maybe even halacha l'mayish misina. There's a concept of Arlo's chutz laretz. So we're discussing over here Arlo in Chutz Laretz. Now, even though Arlo's Chutz Laretz applies, but it's clearly more lenient in Halacha than Arlo's Eretz Yisrael. So with that background, Rav Yehuda said in the name of, not his Rebbe Shmuel, but in the name of his Rebbe Rav, that Tzlaf Shal Arlo, as it relates to Tzlaf of Arlo, in Chutz Laretz. So you get rid of the berry, but you can't eat the berry, but you can eat the husk, says the Marla Meimer. It sounds like Rav holds the Evyoin is pre, the Kavris la peri, meaning the Evyoin, the berry itself is considered a fruit, but the husk that surrounds the fruit is not considered a fruit. Very simple. The peri is a fruit, even though you're in Chutz Laretz, there's something called Arlo's Chutz Laretz, you have to get rid of the fruit. The husk itself is not a fruit, so Eichelis of Asak HaFrisin, it's not a problem. The words of Riminu, how does that stem with what we just said? Amine Nitzpa, Allah Olav, Allah Tamar is the leaves of the caper bush, Oymer Bayer Priyadom, Valav Yonis, Valak HaFrisin, Oymer Bayer Priyayet. Because if you put the kafrisin together with the Vyonis, it sounds like the husk is like the fruit itself. You make a Bayer Priyayet, if you make a Bayer Priyayet, it's a fruit. If it's a fruit, then why is Arlo's Chutz Laretz not negated? The Gemara says Rav knew that Braisa, but really Rav understood that Braisa and his halacha is totally in a machloikis tanon. That Braisa picked one side of the machloikis. Rav was picking the other side. What's this machloikis? Who damek Rabbi Yaakov? The time we looked at Mishnah, Blazer, Rabbi says slaf mesaiser tomorrow's ve'evyoinis ve'kafrisa. You have to give meiser on slaf. Which part of the slaf? Which part of the caper bush do you have to give meiser? The tomorrow's. Those are the leaves. The avyoinos, that's the fruit itself. And the kavris in the husk. Rabbi Kiva says, "Ein mesaser el avyoinos v'vad." You only give meiser on the berry, the bnei shu pri. The rest of it is not a. So what do you see from here? Machlekes Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yekiva. Whether the husk, let's call it the kafrisin, whether the kafrisin is a berry or it's not a berry. It's true. The brisa that says that you make a butter priates on the kafrisin is going like Rabbi Lezer shita that holds. You have to give meiser from kafrisin. If you have to give meiser from kafrisin, clearly it's a fruit. Whereas Rav that said that the kafrisin of Arlo's Chutz La'aretz you're allowed to eat, implying that it's not a fruit. He was going like Rabbi Akiva that says you don't give meiser. So in other words, Rav was just being machria. He was being machria like Rabbi Akiva over Rabbi Eliezer, which usually makes sense. But the Gemara says, if that's the case, v'nei malacha Rabbi Akiva. So why didn't Rav and Amora simply say that halacha is like Rabbi Akiva? Usually Amoraim, if they ever got involved in something that Tanam were discussing or disputing, they came to be machria. They didn't add their opinion as if it was an opinion relative to the opinion of the Tanam. So Rabbi Gamliel could say something that Rabbi Tarfin said. Rabbi Tarfin could say something Rabbi Akiva said, because they're all Tanam. They're all on the same level, so to speak. Whereas the Amoraim are one level below. They're a Nechais Darga, and Amora can't argue with a Tana, the exception of Rav. But even Rav is not a Tana. So the point is why is Rav saying something Rabbi Akiva said? That's not the way it's supposed to be. If Rab wants to say Rabbi Kiva Shita, all he has to say is that the halachas are Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara says, no, he felt that would be misleading. Because he had halachas Rabbi Kiva. Had he said the halachas are Rabbi Kiva, I mean, I would have thought I feel about Aretz. I would have thought the halachas always like Rabbi Akiva. Rab wasn't paskening always like Rabbi Akiva. Rab said his halacha by Arlas Chutzlaretz. In Chutzlaretz, he was paskening like Rabbi Akiva. I mean, he was being make like Rabbi Akiva that the Kafrisin is not a peri, but only in Chutzlaretz. Why? Meaning, because really he held like Rabbi Eliezer, that kafrisin is a fruit. But being that Rabbi Akiva holds that it's not a fruit, kedai Rabbi Akiva lismay chalav in chutz laretz. And it's based on a general rule, that kol ha-mekel ba'aretz, halacha k'maysa l'chutz laretz. When it comes to Arla's chutz laretz, what we do is, even though we apply the rules of Arla, but we take on every kula in the world. So if you can find a kula somewhere, kol ha-mekel ba'aretz, with regards to Arla, halacha k'maysa b'chutz laretz. Rabbi Akiva was a mekel ba'aretz, he held kafrisin is not a fruit in Eretz Yisrael, so halacha k'maysa l'chutz was only chutz laretz that he passed. That way, the Gemara says, "Avav Aretz Loi." So you're telling me that in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha, meaning Rab was passing Rabbi Kiva only Chutz Laretz. So still, but name halacha Rabbi Kiva Chutz Laretz. Why didn't you just say that halacha Rabbi Kiva Chutz Laretz? The Chalam Meikel Baretz halacha Gemaisa B'Chutz Laretz. The Gemara says, "You don't want to say that either," because Yamar Hachi had he said that, "Have a mina." I would have thought, "Hani Mili Gabi Meiser Ila." Maybe Rabbi Akiva said his halacha by Meiser. He didn't say his halacha by Arlo. Arlo is more chamor than Meiser as it relates to capers. And caper berries. You know why? Because Meiser, even in Eretz Yisrael, even Bizman Bayis Rishon, at the time where everybody agrees there was a Chiyav Meiser Smidei Raisa, there was no Chiyav Meiser Smidei Raisa on caper berries. Rashi says, because you only have to give Meiser on Dagon, Tirish, and Yitzer. There's a big machlokes rishonim and whether, in fact, not everybody agrees with that. But for sure, there's no chiyav ma'isa midei raisa on caper berries. So had Rav Paskin, like Rabbi Akiva, he would have just said, halacha Rabbi Akiva, being Rabbi Akiva's halacha was said by ma'iser, you would have thought Rav was only issuing his psak by ma'iser. Why? Because ma'iser ilan, the ba'aretz gufim, the rabbanon. Because we're dealing with caper berries, ma'iser, that's a rabbanon digger thing. So over there, halacha k'ma'iser b'chutzarts. Avol, gabi yor, the ba'aretz midei raisa, ima b'chutzarts, nami nigzer, kamash malon. He wanted it to be clear that it's true not only for ma'iser, even for arlo, where the halacha of arlo applies to caper berries, even midei raisa. Even there, the halacha is you can eat the kafris and the chutzarts, because halacha k'divrei ha-mekel. So the bottom line is what we have now is that Rav Paskin the halacha regarding caper bushes. He said that if you have arlo, caper bushes, You live in Chutz Laretz, so the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat the fruit, but the kafrisin you're allowed to eat. Why? Because the kafrisin are not considered a fruit. 1 second, isn't that a machleik? Is Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva? Are you just trying to be machri? Is that all you're trying to do? Rav asks the Gemara. Says no. Rav really holds that the kafrisin is a fruit. That maybe Rav really holds you even make a bar priya itz if you eat kafrisin. You want to know what the bracha is? You make a bar priya itz. But as it relates to Arla, there. Being that there is a Shitas Rabbi Akiva who holds that kafrisin is not a fruit, where did he say it? Oh, regarding Meiser, a third halacha. But the point is, there's Rabbi Akiva that holds kafrisin is not a fruit, and there's a principle called Amekel Ba'aretz, halacha k'maisa b'chutz laretz. So all Rav was doing was, he was invoking a kula that exists. Not just any kula, it's Rabbi Akiva's kula, but that's the point of Rav Shita. But there's a rule, that's what the Gemara is going to focus on now, kol ha-mekel ba'aretz, halacha k'maisa b'chutz laretz. So when it comes to the halachas of Arlas chutz laretz, pick any kula that you're aware of in Eretz Yisrael, and you could apply it. The Gemara says, is that true? Ravina Ashkechil Mar Baravashi, the Kazarik of Yoinis, the Chokocho Kafrisin. Ravina met Mar Baravashi, and he was following Rav Zalach. He was in Chutz Laretz, Ravina, Ravash, Mar Baravashi, they lived in Bavel, and he was throwing away the fruit, you know, when they eat the fruit of Arlas Chutz Laretz, the Kocho Kafrisin, but he was eating the Kafrisin part of the caper berries. Omalei, Tito, my Daitak Rabbi Akiva, the Mekel. Oh, this is Rav Zalach, based on Rabbi Akiva, Halach Divra Mekel of Chutz Laretz. But he says, if that's the case, I have even a bigger kula. V'levin marke Beis Shammai. Why do you go like Beis Shammai? We have a big Gemara coming. They were even more makel than Rabbi Akiva. Now we learn to the Mishnah. Tzlaf. Beis Shammai yoimim kalai mekeret. Beis Shammai says that if you plant caper berries together with a kerem, so you're over the halacha of kalai mekeret. Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai says, eight kalayim bekerem. Elo ve'elo moed, everybody agrees, shechai ba'arlo, that there's a halacha of arlo. Says the word, hagu v'kasha. How do you understand this? Amrit slav b'shamayim kalayim bekerem. From the fact that b'shamayim says that if you would plant slav together with a kerem, it would be kalayim bekerem, it must mean that slav is a vegetable. Because otherwise it wouldn't be kalayim bekerem. Amrit min yeriko. It's a vegetable. And then it says, Beishamai, Beisul both agree that you have arlo. You don't have arlo on vegetables. You only have it on fruit. So we have a contradiction to Beishamai. Does Beishamai hold that slaf is a fruit? Or does he hold it's a vegetable? Amma minilon who? The Gemara says, Olei kash. Beishamai's fukim asafim. Beishamai wasn't sure. He wasn't sure if slaf is a fruit. This caper berry, is it a fruit? Or is it a vegetable? And as a result, Abdi Hachal Chumra, Fahal Chumra, he went to Chumra and he said, you can't plant it together with a carrot. Maybe it's a vegetable. He also said, Arla, you have a problem, because maybe it's a fruit. Okay. Says the Gemara, become Makkah, the Beshama, have a Safak Garla. Comes according to Beshama, it's a Safak Garla. What's the rules of Safak Garla? Can I move to the Bishop? Safak Garla, Beitzrol, Asin. Eretzrol, it's a Sfeke de Reis, you don't touch it. Ubisurya, Surya was one of the lands that was conquered by David HaMelech, which had certain halachas of Eretzrol, it's Mutter. You're allowed to eat it. Ubichutzlar, it's even a bigger kula, Yervilakeach, Ubivat. Like it. Meaning, Surya, it's mutter, but only if somebody gives it to you. In other parts of Chutz Laaretz, places that are farther away than Surya, from Eretz Yisrael, they're even allowed to go into a field that you know the person is chashen on Arla, and you're allowed to take it. Whatever, that's Surya's an Arla. But the point is that we just need one thing. What do we need? We need the Beishamai had a suffix, Beishamai had a tzad, that caper berries are vegetables. They're not even fruit. Meaning, yet a tzad, there's no halacha of Arla, that's in the game. Where would it manifest itself? Lamai says a kula if it's a safik chutz laaretz. So according to Beis Shammai, there's no hilchus arla by caper berries in chutz laaretz. Not the husk, not the leaves, not the bush, not the nitzvah, not the kafrisa, not the avyoinis, whatever exactly all these things are. I'm not 100% sure. But the point is that all these things are not negeya. Why? Because they're vegetables. If that's the case, and the rule is halacha kedivrei hamekel b'chutz laaretz. So Ravina asked Ma'abe Rav Ashi, he says, I understand. Why are you throwing away the caper berries? Oh, because it's arlos chutz laaretz. You clearly hold of halacha kedivrei hamekel. Because if you didn't hold of halacha kedivrei hamekel, you wouldn't be eating the kafrisin. Elamai, are you being sonich Rabbi Akiva, who's a mekel in Eretz Yisrael? Chabad kresser hamekel. Be mekel like Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, very important you saw it. Rabbi Akiva b'makom Rabbi Eliezer of Dina Kavase. Halacha kedivrei hamekel b'chutz laaretz, but it has to be a real shita. Rabbi Akiva k'neged Rabbi Eliezer, he's a mekel, he's a shita. He's a das yachid, maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva in that case, but it doesn't matter. Of course, we can go like him. Beis Shammai b'makom Beis Hillel, eina mishnah. Beis Shammai doesn't count at all. We never passing like Beis Shammai. Not even for this obscure halacha of halacha kedivrei hamekel b'chutz laaretz. The point is, we never go, it's true, Tosfos says in Masechta Sugah Daf Gimel Lamed, there are six times we pass like Beis Shammai. But other than those six cases that Rav Amram Goyim brings in Tosfos Sugah Daf Gimel Lamed, we never go like Beis Shammai. So much so, Beis Shammai Shita was ostracized from halacha, that even this rule, that kol hamekel b'aretz, halacha k'mayis b'chutz laaretz, doesn't apply. What's the pshat? So this is, of course, the raid that we spoke about at the beginning of the Masechta, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, the Baskel, the Machloikis, everything that went on. This is Mesillas Lashon Berachah. That's the rest of the story. Says the Gemara, the Tepik Leh, but another question. So we're discussing over here again the husk that grows around the caper berry, the kafrisin, which grows around the avyoinis, this husk. Is it a fruit or is it not a fruit? Seems to be Machloikis, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva, Rav, there's a Shitas Beis Shammai. What bracha do you make? Says the Gemara, I don't understand. You want to know if there's arla by the husk? Of course, there should be arla. Why don't we say there's arla? Because even though it's not the fruit, maybe, but it protects the fruit. That's why it's there. It protects the fruit. So if it protects the fruit, that in of itself should be a reason that it should be considered a fruit. Rachmano Amar, the Torah says, V'aralten arla seyes periyoy, es ha-tofle periyoy. We learn from es period to teach me that anything that's tofle to the pre is included in the halacha. Anything that's a tofle to the pre is considered in the halacha. No. Everything that's tofle to the pre is considered included in the halacha of arla. Umay niyu shayimil pre. Meaning the fact that it's a shayimil pre, that in and of itself should give it the cheshivas of a pre. So, where does Chazal discuss Shomer L'Pri in great detail? In Masechtos Uktzin. Where do you learn it in Daf Yomi? In Perek Arva Araitiv. In the conversation of the hardest Perek in Chas. But regardless, there it's more with regards to the halachas of Tumah and Tumas Eichlin. Something that's a Shomer L'Pri, even though it's not the Pri itself, it gets dinim, status of Pri itself, with regards to different halachas. So you need a certain amount of food to become Tumah in order to have the halachas of Tumas Eichlin. The Shomer could be mitzaref, the Yad, the Shomer, all these different halachas. So here the Gemara is saying we have a drasha in the Torah, a mefurish drasha, that says that you have the halachas of Shomer when it comes to the laws of Arla. So the Gemara asks, shouldn't Kafrisim be considered a Shomer Lepri? And the Gemara now is going to work through three possible terutzim as to why the Kafrisin is not considered a Shomer Lepri. The first test, Amar Rava. Rava said, Heichad midin nasa Shomer Lepri. When do you say something is considered a Shomer? Heichad isa beim etalosh beim mechor. But that's only if it protects the fruit, both when the fruit is attached to the bush and when it's detached. Hacha, but as it relates to the Kafrisin, beim mechor isa, when the fruit is, when it's attached, it's going to be there. But Batalosh, let's say, once you remove the caper berry, I guess this husk, it's very fickle. So it falls off. It's very soft, and as a result, it's not considered a shomer. The Gemara says, is that a true halacha? Is ve'abayo pitma shel rimoin? So we know what a pitma is. The pitma of the pomegranate, it's tarefes, is mitzaref to the shear. This is regarding the halachas of tumah. The hanitshaloi a mitzaref. So Rashi says the nates is to the rimoin, like the kafris is to the evyoin. So whatever exactly the kafris is, that husk, that's what the nates is to the rimoin. Now, midakam anates shaloi mitztarif amala ba'ichalu. From the fact that we're saying that the nates is not mitztarif to the sheer tumas oichlan of the rimoin, clearly it's not a food. If it's not, yet we learned to the mishnah gabi yarlo klipe rimoin vanates shaloi, the shell or the clip of the rimoin and the nates, emphasis on nates, klipe agoizim va'garinim chayavim barlo. You see, it's chayavim arlo. Why is it chayavim arlo? Must be because it's a shomer. It's not the pri itself. How do you know it's not the pri itself? Because it's not mitztarif to the shir tumah. Yet you see that it is mitztarif with regards to the halachas of arla. It's included in arla. Why? It must be because it's a shomer. That's the only reason. Now, that's also not going to be there when it's talish. So you see clearly that this svara, that maybe the only time something's considered a shomer is if it's going to be there, both attached and detached. But if it's not going to be there when it's attached, you don't have this halacha. Says the Gemara, you see clearly from the nates of the rima. Not that way. Elam, Rabbis, you have to say different times. Hechel, read it, the nasa shomer, the pri. When do we say it's considered a shomer, the pri? Hechel, the isse, b'shas gmar peiro. That's only if it's going to be there, b'shas gmar peiro. When the pre is ripened. High kafras, this is worse. Not only is it not going to be on the fruit when the fruit is detached, but it's not even going to be the b'shas gmar peiro. By the time it ripens, it's already going to be gone. As opposed to the nates of the rimon, it will be there when it ripens. So the nates of the rimon is considered a shomer regarding arlo because it will be there when it ripens. As opposed to the kafras, it won't be there when it ripens. Mor says, "Ani yizatru v'amar rav Nachman amar rabbevua hani mitachli da arlo." So the mitachli is the husk of dates of arlo asiri. You're not allowed to eat it. Why? Hoyo v'nasu shomer l'pri. Now the shomer l'pri emes have a bikufra v'kakar le shomer l'pri. This metachli, when is it a shomer? Meaning, when is it there? When it's at a very young stage, before it ripens. And so you see, it's considered a shomer. So again, you have a raya. First one was from the pomegranates. The second one is from the metachli. But the point is that you see clearly that it's considered a shomer, even though it's there before it ripens. So the Gemara says a big vart, Reb Nachman Sava k'Reb Yosi, that in fact is a machloikis when exactly these dates fully ripen. And Reb Nachman held like Reb Yosi, Ditnan, Reb Yosi Yomer, Smadar Aser, Mipnei Shu Pri. Meaning Reb Nachman had a different definition, Reb Yosi had a different definition of when fruit ripened. In Rabbi Yossi's world, kufra is considered a ripened fruit. And it's for that reason, if the shomer is there at that time, it is considered a shomer l'pri. Meaning the rule is a good rule, that the only time something's a shomer is if it's there when it's a developed pri. Now, the question is, when is something considered developed? When is it ripened? We have a more strict definition. There is going to be Marim Mekoymus that you can varf with, you're going to find that no, something maybe is considered a shomer even when it's at a lesser state. But it's not because the principle's wrong. It's because that's going a little bit to Rabbi Yossi, who has a lesser definition of when something is considered right. But the Gemara says, in other words, the Rabbanon really argued that Masmur of Sibir Bernardo, who Bishari Lonim, he pleads, is that true? The Rabbanon argued by other trees. Vatan, we learned to the Mishnah, Amos, I ain't coitus, that's how you learn. Is from what point are you not allowed to cut trees? So this is again discussing halacha of trees, halacha of Zra'im, but not negeya brachos, not negeya orla, not negeya meiser. This is actually negeya shvias. With halach is that you're not allowed to destroy trees on shvias. So from what point is a tree considered a tree that ain't koitzitzin on shmita? Bishami says, kol ilo anois. The way it works is like this. Mishay yitziu, as soon as they start growing, that's when it's a problem. Bishulayim, Rimsul says, no, depends on the tree. Hacharuvim, carob trees, mishay yisharshuru. Hagifanim, mishay yigaru. This is the one we're going to get back to when it comes to the shir of garua. Hazesim is mishay yonitsu. Vishar kol ilo anois, mishay. Says the Gemara, Ravasi said, as it relates to gfanim, a vine, when is it considered a tree regarding this halacha shmias? It's mishe yugaru. So Ravasi said, who boiser, who garua, who pulalavon? This shira mishe yugaru, here called garua, is the same as the shir boiser. It's the same as the shir pulalavon. Now pulalavon is a white bean. Do you want pulalavon is all gadaita? It's a white bean. Mara says no. Eleema shiurei could pulalavon when it's the size of a pulalavon. Now the Gemara says, man shamali dama boiser in smadar loy rabban. Now this shir of kip pulalavon of garua of boiser is a later shir than smadar. It's a later shir than Rabbi Yosi's shir. The Rabbi Yosi had earlier. So clearly we're going according to the rabban. The Rabbanan who argue with Rabbi Yossi, they have a stricter definition of when fruit is considered ripe. Yet, v'katani shar kol ilan is m'shei yotziu. And so they said, other trees m'shei yotziu, as soon as it just starts blossoming. So what do you see from there? That as it relates to other trees, there's no machloikis. You can't shtel to this Rabbi Yossi, because this Rabbi Yossi and the machloikis, Rabbi Yossi and the Chachamim, was a unique machloikis regarding gefanim. But as it relates to other type of fruit, there actually is no machloikis. The Gemara says, Allah, my Rabbah, so Rabbah says a different svar. Hey, chamin in the havi shayim the pri, when somebody considered a shayim the pri, hey, chadiki shaklis le shayim mice payer. That's when it's such a shayim, you need the protection. It's vital. If you remove it, the fruit's going to die. What does it mean it's going to die? It's going to dry. The hacha ki shaklis le mice payer, but if you remove the husk from the caper berry will be able to survive, and as a result, it's not considered a shayim. The Gemara says, "Havi udav shaklu le'nitz to remind of a yavish remainder." There was a real life story once upon a time, ma'isa shahaya kachaya, where somebody removed the nates of a remain, the yavish remainder. And this was a raya that it's considered a real shayim, like the Gemara said earlier. That's why it the laws of Arla apply to it. There was a similar story where shaklu le'parcha the bitisa, where they removed the shomer of the caper, the ikayim bitisa, and it was able to survive, and that was a raya to this last teretz, that must be the reason to shomer. The bottom line is, the Gemara was discussing caper berries, and the husks of the caper berries, whether it's the husk is considered fruit, not considered fruit, l'may nafkemina, the bracha by pre-eitz, another nafkemina, arla, shviyas, then the Gemara discussed, Meiser, why don't you look at it at the very least as a shomer? The Gemara said three terutzim, either because it's not there when it's tallish, it's not there when it fully ripens, or because the fruit can live without it. When the fruit can't live without it, that's when it's considered a shomer. But if the fruit can live without it, then it's not considered a shomer.